These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
And this is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado. I am Chris Cook. Thank you so much for tuning back in. We are on August 11th. It's Tuesday. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of great feedback. I really want to thank you guys. You've been emailing me. You've been reaching out to me on Facebook, and I appreciate that. More than you know, I really do. It's hard to do this sitting here alone sometimes, and feeling like, okay, is anybody actually listening to me? And so that's wonderful to have that feedback. Now, one person who had emailed me, and if you want to email me, you can get me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. That's my email address. One of you listeners had emailed me to ask about what's going on with the Colorado GOP. And since we've been off the air of Brand Z, the station that used to carry our shows, we were really the only folks in Denver who were covering this particular dust-up in the Colorado GOP with any depth. And so I wanted to kind of catch everybody back up. If you're not familiar with what's going on inside the state of Colorado Republican Party, since beginning of June, this whole thing has just gone completely downhill. Of course, we elected a new chairman, Chairman Steve House, in March, and I helped get him elected. I think in part, I definitely pushed for him and campaigned for him, and he's been a friend of mine for a few years, and we've had a lot of discussions and brainstorming sessions and so forth over the years about how do we message, you know, how do we reach out, how do we win elections? I mean, how does that actually happen? You know, taking it from big picture down to details and talking about things at that level. And so I was a very big supporter of Steve's and was very, very excited to see him elected in March, feeling that finally this was the opportunity where the Liberty Movement was finally going to have a seat at the table at the state party level. That, to me, that is a very precious thing, to be heard and to be able to participate in the process and contribute to success in a way that we never could have done under Ryan Call. And so Steve was elected in March. And over the course of the ensuing months, I think that we in the Liberty Movement, especially those of us who are activists, who were very active with both Steve's campaign and with the early parts of this administration, came to understand that, how do I put this delicately? We were sold a bill of goods. Maybe that's the best way to put it. It's hard to be disillusioned like that, especially when you've thrown down so hard. And I got to tell you that it's rather humiliating for me to have to say those words, especially about somebody that I counted as a friend. And to realize that, well, you know, the thing that came to my mind was something that he said many, many times over the course of the campaign, and he said it on my show on Grassroots Radio Colorado. He said it elsewhere. He said it in print. He said it, you know, in speeches. And that is, winning without integrity isn't winning. And I find that deeply ironic that was something that he used. That was a refrain that he used over and over and over again. And I do not wish to engage in the pop psychology, armchair psychology necessary to understand why that became such an integral part of his campaign. But there it is. And it's true. That's the thing. Winning without integrity is not winning. What we found is that the person who now occupies the chairmanship of the Colorado GOP does not have the required integrity to be a leader for this party. That is what we discovered. Now, once you discover something like that, well, let me give you some details. Let's back up for a second. There's the thing that happened over and over and over again. We found is that Chairman House is willing to say one thing to the person standing in front of him, whatever it is that they need to hear, and then turn around in the next 10 minutes. I might be exaggerating. I might not. Turning around in the next 10 minutes and say the complete opposite thing, make a completely different promise that is contrary to the first promise to another person, whatever it is that they needed to hear. Now, understanding that Steve was elected in large part because he needed to unify the Colorado GOP, we have been factionalized for a long time, especially under Ryan Call. He definitely divided us. I gave him, in the early parts of this, I gave him some leeway. Because, you know, there is a certain amount, when I didn't have the proof of the lies, what I had was simply anecdotal evidence that he was, in fact, trying to pull together different factions of the party. That's how I interpreted it. That was the leeway I was willing to give him. And then evidence started piling up that people had been promised things that there was no way he could deliver. People had been promised things that he turned around and absolutely refused to deliver. He slandered a prominent Republican here in the state of Colorado, and that, to me, is the worst. That's the absolute worst part of it. And so in early June, I believe it was June 10th, Tom Tancredo, Cynthia Kaufman, and Becky Mizell, who was the chair of the Pueblo GOP, sat down with Steve to talk to him about these issues and to ask for his resignation. Because he was not exhibiting the integrity needed to be a leader for the state of Colorado's Republican Party as we move into this important election in 2016. We are a swing state. We have 9 electoral votes. We have a big say in who occupies the White House. And we have many races here in the state of Colorado that need to be addressed as well. We've got a Senate race coming up. We've got to start prepping for 2018 when we have the gubernatorial race coming up. We need to extend our majority in the state Senate. We need to regain the majority in the state House. We have very important goals for 2016. And somebody who lies, somebody who doesn't deliver on their promises, that is somebody that is not going to be effective in that role. That was the conclusion that Kaufman and Tancredo and Mizell came to, and that is why they did what they did. Steve agreed at that meeting to resign. And then he rescinded his resignation and said that he was going to fight, that he wouldn't be bullied. And he has created a storm of epic proportions by choosing to do that. I had another friend tell me if he were the state chair, somebody that I admire greatly and who sits in the Gold Dome, if he were the state chair, regardless of the truth of the allegations, if he was looking around watching the party disintegrate the way that it is, he would step down simply to save the party. And that is the reason why I admire Senator Holbert so much. And it is also the reason why I feel so strongly about my constant refrain. You have to put the mission over the ego. You have to put mission over ego. You have to be dedicated to the end result beyond whether or not you get to play your preferred position in gaining that end result. You have to be able to do that. I feel like I've lived that over the course of the past month and a half. I feel like the people that I know that will stand with me in the trenches are people who will live that no matter what. Steve House has proven himself to not be one of those people. And so from that perspective, that's getting you all caught up. So when he didn't step down, when he decided to take on this fight, instead of concentrating on the end goal, instead of concentrating on how the state of Colorado is going to win for Republicans, win for the right Republicans, win a conservative majority for our state House and Senate, win a conservative occupant for the White House. Instead of focusing on that, he's decided to take on those who would be his detractors, including me. And so here's where we stand. You know, he's decided to not step down. And so now folks have started to take a very good close look at issues that have nothing to do with the affair. If you heard anything about this, you've heard about the alleged affair, and I believe that it did happen. I know both folks, and you know, we've got a lot of backup for this. I know that it did happen, but it's irrelevant. The affair itself, while salacious, and certainly Steve House's good attempt to shape the narrative, because he is the one who brought up the affair, no one else did. He's the one who put it out in the public sphere, no one else did. He's the one who made this about that, no one else did. That was Steve. That was Steve guiding the narrative away from his obvious failures as the CEO of the Colorado GOP. One of the biggest of those obvious failures has to do with financials. So I don't want to bore you with a lot of accounting. Trust me, I am an accountant. That is what I do for a living. I'm a forensic accountant. I view accounting, let's approach it from this perspective. I view accounting, and I've been doing it for, I don't even want to think about how long, 3 decades now. Accounting is a language, and that's all it is. It's not math. It's not complicated. It's not you know, weird formulas and arcs and calculus and stuff like that. It's not. It's a language. Accounting is a language that translates economic transactions into transparent numbers that people who are trained in the language, people who understand the language, are able to look at and decipher and translate for people who maybe don't speak accounting so well. That's what my job is to do that interpretation for people, for judges and for juries, so that they understand what's going on a set of financials. I've also had an opportunity to look at the financials for the Colorado GOP, such as they are, and to talk about these issues with other folks in the Liberty Movement who are very concerned with what's going on with our financials. Now, there's a couple different issues that are going on here. There's three, if you want to be precise. There's three issues. One is that we apparently haven't had an audit in a couple of years. And whether or not we have one this year for 2015 is looking more and more, we're not quite sure what's going to happen. And that's going to be up to the executive committee. And we'll talk about an audit here in a minute. The second issue is whether or not the books are being kept in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Now, that sounds like a bunch of technical jargon, but the bottom line is, are the books being kept consistently? In other words, are we recording things consistently? Are we recording them so that we can compare period to period to period, quarter one to quarter two to quarter three, that we can compare to perhaps other state parties and determine how we're doing and have that sort of cross comparison ability, and whether we can look at the financials themselves and do they make sense in terms of all the whole picture fitting in together. You've heard of debits and credits. You know, that's where you kind of determine whether or not the debits and the credits match, which they should. We're not getting financial information that allows us to assess any of those things because the books are not being kept in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. They're called generally accepted accounting principles for a reason. They are generally accepted. You actually, you know, can rely on these things. And he's made a lot of excuses about that, which I'll talk about in a second. And then the third thing is our debt and whether or not our debt is being revealed. And there was an interesting development on that today. So when we come back, I'm going to delve into those three areas a little bit more deeply. please stick with me. I'm doing this at as high a level as I can, but it's really important to understand what the challenges are and why this is important to the state GOP and to 2016. So stick around. That is the Itchy Creeps in the Hall of the Mountain King. I've actually had some fun trying to find music that I can use on this podcast because I'm not licensed to use, you know, big name stuff. So the Itchy Creeps in the Hall of the Mountain King, you can find them at the freemusicarchive.org and download them. That's kind of fun. So we're talking about accounting. Yes, I know. And you've stuck around this long. God bless you. You really are dedicated. So let's talk about why this stuff is so important. I mean, first of all, why do we need an audit? Let's talk about an audit. What an audit does, especially in this case where we had questions about how the party was run prior to Steve's election, we had questions about things that had gone down, questions about whether or not there were proper interactions between the state of Colorado or between the Colorado GOP and, for example, the Colorado Republican Party Independent Expenditure Committee that Ryan Call set up. There's questions there. There were many questions raised while Ryan was still the chairman. And so having an audit gives us assurance that those improper transactions that we suspected perhaps didn't happen. We have that assurance. The other thing in this case, when we've had a change in who is occupying the chairman's seat, is that having an audit gives assurance as of day one of Steve's chairmanship, his administration, that everything prior to that doesn't get visited on him as things go forward. I urged him before the election, on the day of the election, after the election, urged him to get that clean bill of health, that clean slate by doing an audit as of the day that he was elected. And that doesn't mean that it has to be done on that day, but you come in, you know, the CPA firm comes in, they look at the records up through that day, have the starting point for Steve's administration laid out so that we know as of the beginning of his term, this is how much we had in debt, this is how much we had in the bank, this is how much we owed on like payroll and rent and that kind of thing. That's what an audit does. It gives you that snapshot view and lets you know whether or not things are kosher up to that point and gives you a clean slate from which to write going forward. That's what an audit would have done. Now, we've got a couple problems with the audit. One, the audit for the end of 2014 doesn't appear to have been done. And the reason that I say that is because the audit was given to the executive committee, and I'm using air quotes around audit because it was not an audit, it was a review. We're not going to go into those different levels at this point, but the audit was given to the executive committee in December for a December 31st year end. So there is no physically possible way for the audit as of 12/31/14 to have been completed and given to the executive committee before the end of the year. That there's no way to do that. There's no physically possible way to do that. And so since that's what we're being told by Chairman House, is that the review was given to the executive committee and they found no problems with it, so he didn't see any need to go back and do it again. The fact of the matter remains is that there was nothing done. There couldn't have been, because they could not have received, unless somebody has a time machine and they haven't told me about it, in which case call me because I could sure use one right now. But unless they had a time machine, you can't go back in time and give them the results of the 12/31/14 audit. So that's the first problem. There was no, we call it in the business a stub period audit. So there was no audit done, obviously, as of the day that Steve took control of the Colorado GOP. He has stated that he didn't feel like there was anything untoward that had happened prior, and he didn't see a need to get it done. I do. I very much do. And he totally agreed with me during the campaign, on the day of his election, and afterwards. Totally agreed with me. Told me right to my face, absolutely, we'll be getting that done. I volunteered my services. He said, yeah, absolutely, I will be contacting you. Never got a call. Never got a call. And it's frustrating. It's not that I am the end-all be-all. I'm also not the only CPA in the Republican Party. I get this. But I have some special insight. I'm one of the few forensic accountants who is very active in the party. In fact, I think I may be the only one in the state of Colorado, in the Colorado GOP, who is also very active in the party and active in politics. I could provide some expertise, and that expertise is being ignored or worse, and has been from the beginning, which is, I think, a waste of resources. Volunteering my time and my expertise to help. But that's my ego, okay? Letting my ego get in the way of my mission. So the second issue is this issue about generally accepted accounting principles. And what Steve has said, which I just find kind of amazing, is that he tried to pull the wool over some folks' eyes in an email exchange that I was made privy to. He stated that GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles, are only required for publicly traded companies and companies of a certain size, and we meet neither criteria. That is absolute and complete BS. Absolute and complete BS. Generally accepted accounting principles are used so that you have transparency and consistency in your books. They're not hard to do. And the bottom line, the big distinguishing factor with generally accepted accounting principles, is that you record your bills when you receive them. When you are obligated to pay that bill, you record it in your books. That's the bottom line piece of this entire thing that everyone seems to fail to get. It's not some complicated system and it's not this black box where you put an economic transaction in one end, you crank the handle, and out the other end of this black box labeled GAAP, you get financials. It's not some complicated, mysterious process. It means that when you owe the bill, you record it in your books, whether or not you've paid it. And then, you know, there's another side of that is if people owe you money, which happens more rarely, although pledges do count as receivables for the state party. So if you've pledged money to them that you're going to pay them $50 a month for the next year, like I have, then that is actually a receivable on the books. And what that means is that you record that receivable as an asset. It's stuff you're going to get. And even though you haven't received the money yet, but it is an asset on the books, okay? So that's really the big distinguishing factor. We call that accrual accounting, as opposed to cash-based accounting. Now, cash-based accounting has its places. And most of us, for example, file our taxes on a cash basis. A lot of incredibly tiny businesses do keep their books on a cash basis, mostly because their only reporting consideration is for income taxes. They're not having to give financials to donors or an executive committee or anything like that. So in this case, the Colorado GOP does have to present its financial reports to Tracer, to the Secretary of State, to the Federal Election Commission, to donors, big and small, to the Executive Committee, to the Central Committee. We are all deserving, and I believe most of us are required. The Central Committee is required to receive quarterly financial statements. The Executive Committee certainly should be receiving those in order to make wise financial decisions going forward. And they should have a set of financials that the rules are not changing on them every month, so that they can compare August financials to September to October to November. And they can look at those and understand what is going on. So generally accepted accounting principles is a big deal. Now, there's a further twist to this. I talked about debt briefly earlier. I'm going to talk about that again in a second. But the state of Colorado, I keep doing that. The Colorado GOP has a line of credit that they took out because they didn't have enough money. And they have this line of credit with Centennial Bank. And in the loan documents for that line of credit, generally accepted accounting principles are required to be used by the company or by the borrower. Required. So this BS about how GAAP is only required for publicly traded companies and companies of a certain size, yeah, you have an affirmative covenant in the loan documents that you have to use generally accepted accounting principles, Steve. You have an affirmative covenant that you have to use them. It's not this big burden. I don't understand, honestly, why he's fighting against this so hard. Except that it does require then transparency as to how much debt we have. And that is what he's bucking against. The third thing is the loan. And there's actually a couple loans. I don't know where the other one came from, but it's approximately, as far as I understand, it's approximately $200,000. And then we have the $70,000 line of credit. I believe that the $200,000 does not include the $70,000. I haven't confirmed that, so don't quote me on it. But this debt is a problem. And there was a story that came out today in politichicks.com from Catherine Porter, worth going and checking out. She has a lot of really good detail in here. And basically, House stated that he didn't want to report the debt. And because it just didn't look good. Here's the quote. If you had seen the quarter one report at the very end of quarter one, it would have looked like we were in dire financial straits, because we were. And I really didn't want donors thinking they were only investing in debt, because especially since the legal bills may not be ours to pay. Now, why not reveal the debt, be transparent, put a note on there and says, this may not be ours. I mean, is that really so hard? Why the subterfuge? Why go around transparency? Why jettison any attempt to keep up with things that you actually promised during the campaign? Why do that instead of just revealing it, putting it out there, put a little star next to it, little footnote at the bottom that says, this might not be ours. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. The fact that that is where Chairman House is going, and that's where his mind goes, that ought to tell you pretty much everything you need to know about this dust-up in the state GOP. It really should. It should tell you pretty much everything you need to know about Steve House. He has no desire to be transparent. He has no desire to do the right financial things. And here's the bottom line on all of this. The state GOP, the entire GOP organization from the national level all the way down, pretty much only exists because of money. That's its only function, is to collect and disseminate money for the election of Republicans. That's its purpose. Now, has it taken on a whole bunch of other crap that it probably ought not to be doing? Yes. Reince Priebus has decided he doesn't like Donald Trump, a Republican presidential candidate. You know, that kind of crap. And we saw all that under Ryan Call as well. But the party only exists because of money. So if we can't get good reporting about the money, what do we need the party for? I would, at this point, and I really, really wanted this to be different. I helped launch a money bomb for this on my show, for the state GOP after Steve was elected. I was so excited, and I signed up to be a donor, and I, you know, did all this because finally we could aggregate our resources and use them better. That was what I really wanted to see happen with the state GOP. That's why I pushed so hard. But I'm back to donate to your candidates, work for your candidates. Don't donate to the party. Until we have better financial reporting, we just can't afford it. Thanks so much for listening to me. I really appreciate the time that you've spent. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado, or email me, kris@grassrootsradio.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.